Daiichi Sankyo scraps $950 million ADC plant as oncology buildout backfires. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Daiichi Sankyo recorded a 149.4 billion Japanese yen, $950 million, extraordinary loss after abandoning plans to construct antibody-drug conjugate manufacturing capacity due to overestimated commercial demand for its ADC portfolio. The write-down represents approximately 3.8% of Daiichi and #X27's market capitalization and exceeds the total annual R&D budgets of many mid-sized biotechs, reflecting significant capital destruction from the scrapped ADC plant project. ADC manufacturing facilities face structural inflexibility as specialized containment and purification systems make them dedicated to ADC production only, creating stranded assets if pipeline candidates fail or demand shrinks. The company and #X27's decision reflects likely pipeline attrition in ADC development, where linker technology, payload selection, and targeting antibody efficacy risks mean a single phase 3 failure can eliminate the need for hundreds of millions in planned capacity. Daiichi Sankyo recorded an extraordinary loss of 149.4 billion Japanese yen, equivalent to $950 million, after abandoning plans to construct antibody-drug conjugate manufacturing capacity the company no longer needs. The Japanese pharmaceutical giant's dramatic reversal in May 2026 signals a sobering shift in oncology infrastructure investment after years of aggressive build-out across the sector. The write-down stems from a fundamental miscalculation. Daiichi overestimated commercial demand for its ADC portfolio and built accordingly. The company is now scrapping construction plans entirely and absorbing the sunk costs. This is not a construction delay or strategic pivot. This is capital destruction at scale, the kind that forces boards to reconsider how growth projections translate into fixed asset commitments. The loss represents roughly 3.8% of Daiichi's market capitalization based on recent trading levels. For context, that figure exceeds the total annual R&D budgets of many mid-sized biotechs. The magnitude suggests the company was well into planning, permitting, or early-stage construction when leadership pulled the plug. Why ADC capacity became a liability? Antibody-drug conjugates represented the hottest subsector in oncology over the past half-decade. These targeted therapies combine monoclonal antibodies with cytotoxic payloads, delivering chemotherapy directly to cancer cells while sparing healthy tissue. Daiichi's Enhertu, developed with AstraZeneca, became a multi-billion-dollar franchise and validated the ADC platform commercially. The success triggered an industry-wide manufacturing arms race. Every major oncology player expanded or announced plans for dedicated ADC production lines. The bet was straightforward: if Enhertu could generate blockbuster revenue in breast and lung cancer, a pipeline of follow-on ADCs would require proportional capacity. Daiichi miscalculated the trajectory. The specifics remain undisclosed, but the write-down magnitude suggests either clinical trial failures that eliminated pipeline candidates, slower than expected market uptake for approved products, or a strategic decision to rely on contract manufacturing rather than owning dedicated facilities. Given the company's relative silence beyond the financial disclosure, the most likely explanation is pipeline attrition. ADC development carries significant technical risk. Linker technology, payload selection, and targeting antibody efficacy must align for clinical success. A single phase 3 failure can eliminate the need for hundreds of millions in planned capacity. The loss also reflects the structural challenge of biologics manufacturing: long lead times, limited asset flexibility, and high fixed costs. Unlike small molecule plants that can pivot across product lines with relative ease, ADC facilities require specialized containment, purification systems, and quality control infrastructure. Once you build for ADCs, you build only for ADCs. If the pipeline shrinks, the steel and concrete become stranded assets. Regulatory uncertainty compounds capital allocation risk. Daiichi's write-down arrives during a period of unusual regulatory turbulence in the pharmaceutical sector. On the same day the company disclosed its loss, multiple media outlets reported that FDA Commissioner Marty Makary faced potential termination from his role, according to sources familiar with the matter. While the reports noted plans had not been finalized, the level of uncertainty at the agency's leadership adds another variable to already complex manufacturing and approval timelines. Regulatory instability creates friction for companies making multi-year capital commitments. Manufacturing capacity decisions hinge on assumptions about approval timelines, label expansions, and post-market requirements. When the agency's leadership becomes a political variable rather than a policy constant, the risk premium on fixed asset investment rises accordingly. Separately, increased federal scrutiny of health data handling has emerged as a concern across the sector. The Office of Personnel Management's April 2026 request for unredacted federal worker health data from insurers drew sharp criticism from health policy experts and lawmakers, according to reporting from KFF Health News. While not directly related to Daiichi's manufacturing decisions, the episode illustrates a broader pattern of unpredictable regulatory intervention that complicates long-term planning. The capacity paradox in specialty pharma. Daiichi's loss crystallizes a paradox facing specialty pharmaceutical manufacturers. Underbuild, and you leave revenue on the table or hand market share to competitors who can supply demand. Overbuild, and you strand capital in fixed assets that generate no return. The margin for error has narrowed as therapies become more targeted and patient populations more precisely defined. This tension plays out differently across therapeutic areas. In vaccines and pandemic preparedness, governments subsidize excess capacity as a public good. In rare disease treatments, limited patient populations make the math straightforward. But in oncology, where a drug might address multiple indications across different tumor types, demand forecasting becomes treacherous. Enhertu's label expanded from HER2 positive breast cancer to HER2 low breast cancer to HER2 mutant non-small cell lung cancer. Each expansion required updated manufacturing projections. Get the epidemiology wrong, or the competitive landscape changes, and the numbers collapse. The broader industry context matters here. Multiple pharmaceutical companies have announced manufacturing expansions over the past 3 years, often tied to specific platform technologies like ADCs, bispecifics, or cell therapies. Not all will generate the returns their sponsors projected. Daiichi is simply the first to publicly mark the loss. Others may follow, either through write-downs or by quietly repurposing facilities and absorbing the inefficiency in their cost structures. The mergers and acquisitions angle. Stranded assets attract opportunistic buyers from a private equity perspective. Daiichi's write-down creates potential secondary market opportunities. Stranded or underutilized ADC manufacturing capacity does not lose all value. It simply loses value to the original owner. Contract development and manufacturing organizations, CDMOs, have built successful businesses by acquiring distressed pharma assets at discounts, then leasing capacity back to the industry. If Daiichi moves beyond merely scrapping plans and begins selling partially completed facilities or equipment, specialized CDMOs with oncology expertise could acquire the assets for cents on the dollar. The buyer avoids the full construction cost, and Daiichi recoups some fraction of its investment. This dynamic has played out in biologics manufacturing before, notably after the wave of overcapacity following the first generation of monoclonal antibody approvals in the early 2000s. The calculus for potential acquirers hinges on geographic location, regulatory compliance status, and the technical specifications of the planned facility. ADC manufacturing requires high containment and specialized handling systems, limiting the pool of buyers who can repurpose the infrastructure. But for the right operator, particularly those serving Japanese or Asian markets where Daiichi likely planned to build, the opportunity could be substantial. The Plaquemine view Daiichi's $950 million loss is not an isolated misstep but a leading indicator of a broader revaluation in specialty pharma manufacturing. We see three structural forces converging. First, the shift from platform-level optimism to asset-specific discipline as targeted therapies mature. Second, increasing regulatory and political unpredictability that raises the discount rate on long-cycle investments. And third, the growing sophistication of CDMO networks that reduce the strategic necessity of captive capacity. The key insight for institutional investors is that this is not a cyclical overcapacity story like we saw in generics or even in mAbs a decade ago. This is a precision medicine capacity paradox. The more targeted the therapy, the smaller and less predictable the addressable market, and the harder it becomes to justify fixed manufacturing investments. Daiichi bet on its ADC pipeline reaching critical mass. When that didn't materialize, the company lacked optionality. The steel, glass, and stainless steel reactors have no alternative use. We expect this to trigger a strategic rethink across the oncology sector. Companies with aggressive CapEx plans tied to early-stage pipelines will face tougher scrutiny from CFOs and boards. The bias will shift toward flexible capacity arrangements, tolling agreements, and partnerships with CDMOs that can absorb the asset risk. The winners will be the manufacturing service providers who can offer modular, scalable capacity without requiring sponsors to make nine-figure commitments before Phase 3 data readout. For private equity-backed CDMOs, this validates the thesis. The industry is moving toward a model where innovation companies focus on R&D and commercial execution, while specialized manufacturers own and manage the physical infrastructure. Daiichi just paid $950 million to learn that lesson. The rest of the industry is watching. The bottom line: Daiichi Sankyo's extraordinary loss serves as a blunt reminder that manufacturing strategy carries the same risk as clinical development, just on a different timeline. The company's decision to scrap ADC capacity plans and absorb the write-off reflects a management team willing to cut losses rather than compound them by building facilities it no longer needs. That discipline is commendable, but the loss itself was avoidable. The broader implication for institutional capital is clear: oncology manufacturing capacity is no longer a safe bet, even for validated platforms. The era of building first and filling later is over. The next wave of investment will favor asset-light models, modular capacity, and partnerships that preserve optionality. Companies that fail to adapt will find themselves holding expensive, underutilized facilities with limited buyers and no clear path to recovery. For mergers and acquisitions-focused investors, the distress cycle is just beginning. Watch for asset sales, facility divestitures, and strategic partnerships as companies like Daiichi look to monetize stranded investments. The value will accrue to those who can move quickly, understand the technical constraints of ADC manufacturing, and have the balance sheet to acquire assets at a discount. The sellers will be motivated. The question is whether buyers can structure deals that create value rather than simply transferring risk.